Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, today we're going to be talking to Robin Reedy about the budgeting process and the constitutionality of the Interim Finance Committee.
Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Bill Uffelman, Joe Gild, and Marlene Lockhart. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in 1 day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program Robin Reedy. She is Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons. Pleasure to have you back on the program, ma'am.
Thank you.
Samantha Stone has been doing a lot of reporting on budgetary issues on her blog, The Reasonable Reporter, which you can find at NevadaNewsmakers.com. And her latest blog is on the budgeting process as it moves along here. And you've come up with what seems to me to be somewhat obvious, but has not really been the way that the state has been doing their budgeting, which is to divide things into three categories: the most critical state services, and then B would be we really ought to do this if we can, it's important, it makes lives better, and three, the category C would be when pigs learn to fly list. If miracle of miracles, we end up with the money left over, we'll do it. Why did it take so long to come up with what seems to me to be a common sense approach to budgeting?
Well, you know,
at any time,
the budget process is set by law. So basically, everyone just follows the law. We are now at a point where the money is just not there, that it creates some innovation. And while it seems basic, when the legislature gives you a law, you try to follow it. So we're doing it because we have to do it. The bigger question why hasn't the legislature to date had the debate on what government should be doing?
Okay, but by your suggestion there, is what you're doing then illegal? Are you breaking a law by doing the budget this way?
Actually, no, because we are making that fit. We are still following the law. We are just adding work to that.
Well, and there's really two types. There's more than two types, but there's a continuing level of service, which is basically what we do now. So it's, you know, you just take last year's budget and you add on to it.
That's right.
That's how we've kind of always done budgeting, and what's left over, you know, hopefully in good times you have a surplus, you're able to spend it on, you know, things like Millennium Scholarships and, you know, other kind of feel-good programs. And then there's kind of the zero-based budgeting approach where you start from zero. And do you think that results in a more careful evaluation of what works and what doesn't when you take that kind of approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to get to, is a zero-based budgeting within the confines of the law. So, you know, we want to do everything the law requires, but on top of that, we're going to prioritize and make our decisions in the budget we present at the end of this year by priority.
Now, once you're done, I mean, you got that, you know, kind of your A, B's, and C's. Do you have any idea what the A's and B's will look like as far as a number, and if we will be able to cover that nut with the revenue we have coming into the state?
We really don't have any idea. We're going to have that pragmatically come to us, and in those decision-making, listening to the experts, and take a look at what number we get at that point. And then we're going to have to make some hard decisions and present that in the budget.
Will the legislature resist this new budgeting process?
The legislature resists pretty much everything. And while it seems that we're always, the governor's office is always contentious with the legislature, the fact is we're trying to bring the debate to what should government be doing and what does the taxpayer want to pay, rather than create a crisis to mandate new taxes and give our constituents the feeling that they have no choices.
Now, really, in 2003, I think that was a big argument, and that was a time where you probably could take, you know, a tax increase, unlike what we've done in the last year, and, you know, again in the last really 6 months, where you raised taxes during one of our worst economic times ever. When you look at what we did in 2003, do you think if we would have had a spending cap in place that would have limited how much money the legislature could have spent over what they had spent in the previous biennium, that we would be in the situation we are today?
You know, hindsight is 2020. I've never been much for spending caps or some of those restrictive. But in hindsight, what I thought then is wrong. And indeed, a spending cap would have resolved a lot of issues at this point.
You know, it's very interesting to me, and knowing that the governor will not be the governor after the next election, but yet it's his job and U.S. staff to put it together, that you actually create the budget that is the basis for what goes forward. So this really gives, I think, a historic opportunity to really show a new way to do things.
And we're going to take advantage of that. You know, practically speaking, November 2nd, we will know who's coming in, and we are committed to working with either candidate, whoever is successful, from November 3rd on.
Well, and really, that's a change from when our current governor came into office and the previous administration, Governor Gwynn. There really wasn't a lot of that cooperation between those two entities, so it's good to hear that you are really taking that statesman-like approach to work with whoever our next governor will be in these difficult times.
So the governor was very clear, even before the election was had and to now, that that's what he wants to do.
You know, Senator Townsend said that both of the candidates should be working on a budget at this point themselves right now, and not waiting.
I have a lot of respect for Senator Townsend, and I just don't know that they would have all the information necessary to be able to do that.
But would you work with them to be able to get them that information? I mean, it appears that there are already meetings with the budget director, Andrew Klinger, already.
Again, we've given permission. Even though we don't have to give permission, we certainly wanted to make it clear that the directors can work with either candidate as long as they're not giving out, executive privilege work product that we're doing. So hopefully, but even that is not enough. You know, the minutiae of the budget, it's overwhelming, as probably any chief of staff or former chief of staff can tell you.
But it's kind of interesting that you're, the governor is not allowing certain heads of departments to go meet with the legislature, but yet you're willing to work with the candidates.
It's a constitutional issue. You know, if the legislature, when they were in regular session, would have asked for this committee and directed them, we wouldn't have a problem with this because it would be constitutional. But the legislature cannot delegate their authority to a subcommittee of a committee that basically is run by, because the IFC is a committee of the Legislative Council Bureau, meaning that that sole director is in charge of that. It's just patently unconstitutional, and that's the argument. And that argument isn't for the sake of argument, it's for the future of the state.
Okay, we'll pick up on this when we come back. More with Robin Reedy when we get back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Senior homeowners have been feeling anxious about money lately. The good news is that you can do something about it now with Home Equity Release. Stop the worry and stay in your home. Find out how much money you can receive every month with a reverse mortgage.
I'm just one of 500,000 seniors that sleeps better at night.
It's true. A government-backed reverse mortgage stops the concern about money and keeps you self-reliant.
After Phil died, my Home Equity Release covered missing Social Security payments and kept me safely in our house. Maybe you should re-examine this government-insured program, too.
Be smart enough to look for yourself. Receive our new information kit when you qualify. Only Comfortable Retirement offers Home Equity Release, the new reverse mortgage program designed for active seniors.
Lock in the cash value of your biggest asset and maintain your independence.
After all your hard work, you're entitled to a comfortable retirement and never having a mortgage payment again.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Save energy and money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Robin Reedy. She's the Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons. So we were talking about the constitutionality of the IFC. Is there a plan to test this?
You know, we view this as a journey rather than a destination. We will do what we need to do to protect the powers of the governor and the separation of powers that are in the Constitution. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Robin, one of the things that I think people really don't have a great grasp of is the actual number. We're talking about a $3 billion or $3.5 billion budget gap, but that's just general fund. There are other accounts that are out there that have these little ticking time bombs too. Can you flesh those out a little bit for us?
Well, of course, you know, we have a lot of fee-funded accounts. We have a lot of federal-funded accounts. Some of that money is changing. The FMAP money is not going to be coming in as
What's
it stands.
FMAP?
FMAP is with the Health and Human Services Division, and we, in the special session, we plan that money coming in. About 97 to 140 million. And when I talk dollars, it's typically in millions. So that's an adjustment. We have the $62 million from the special session, a very squishy number at this point. We have the Nevada State Prison, who is using...
What on earth happened there? The governor wants to shut it down.
God knows you can't tell by the newscasts. Basically, what they did is they punted it to the next prison board meeting, although all the newscasts I've heard saying that, you know, they voted to close down the prison. Closing or not to close down the prison. The closure of the prison wasn't even on the agenda, and the agenda was written
by the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the governor was outvoted on
this. So for no real good reason, they punted it again to the next meeting, which means we've been, we set it up so that there would not be any layoffs, that, you know, it would be a very smooth transition.
But isn't Howard Skolnick already closing it down?
He has moved inmates, and he has moved inmates because we have reduced staff toward phasing out this facility. For no good reason, for this, putting the safety of workers in the community at risk, spending $3 million that we don't need to spend to keep prisoners in an old facility that is not efficient. It is an absolute waste of money. Yet the Secretary of State, in the same day, gets a contract approved for $4 million. $1 million here, $1 million there. Evidently, they don't think that adds up to money.
What was that $4 million contract for?
For his business portal, which he's over budget on, and yet the IFC continues to approve these increases, and yet we're trying to improve safety, bring more efficiency to the system, and not waste taxpayers' money. It would take $30 million. 2 years ago, it would take $30 million to maintain that facility. Substantially more to bring it up to any kind of compliance when it comes to fire safety, ADA. I have yet to hear anyone ask them, why are they keeping it open, as opposed to improving the safety for staff, improving the safety for the facility, and spending something like $30,000 a day?
Well, and this prison has been around since Nevada was a territory.
140 years.
So, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, a new prison or something that, you know, is going to be easy to upgrade. We're talking about a very substantial investment on a very old asset.
And if we empty that prison, we could sell that old asset and bring more money in.
Okay, I wanted to go back to talking about the budgeting process. Will we be able to fund even the top category of high priority programs given the severe shortfall?
I can't answer that. I haven't seen the number.
Okay. And do you think the current demand by the legislature to review the budget is a result of their anxiety about this process?
I think it's a result of trying to do a power play and get more and more involved in the executive branch. They had these opportunities during session. They had the opportunity during special session. And they wait until an election year and they appoint the head of that committee as someone who has a tenuous chance at winning so she can get more press.
You know, let's talk about unemployment.
We've got about 30 seconds.
This is a big issue. Can you tell us what the borrowing from the feds is going to mean to the state of Nevada as far as unemployment funds?
And ultimately, that's what Lynn was talking about, when taxes have to be raised. You know, we cannot use regular unemployment funds that come in from businesses to pay off that loan. The interest on that loan needs to be paid by general fund or another
and
assessment.
How much is that?
You know, I don't have a number at this moment, but it is millions and millions of dollars.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. You're welcome anytime. Thank you.
Thank
we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Get a used car down the street, or get a new car alternative. Here's a Dodge Ram 1500 Quad Cab SLT for only $379 per month. Get more for your money only at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
Cabinet Lighting would like to invite you to the largest fan sale event in our history. With over 40 models on display and hundreds more available, you won't have to sacrifice style to save money. And now you can save even more towards the purchase of a new ceiling fan by trading in your old one. See store for details. Also, upgrading your ceiling fan will reduce energy costs immediately. And Cabinet Lighting would like to help you save money and energy beautifully. Bring in your old fan today and save. Only at Cabinet and Lighting.
Are you ready for this?
Check this out.
Now, there's a movie channel that has the movies you love and so much more.
It's really good.
This TV.
Come to daddy.
Oh.
Howdy, folks.
Big stars.
Am I interrupting?
Snap out of it.
Big movies.
Tradition.
Big entertainment. On one channel. This TV. Catch This TV off air 4.2 or digital cable channel 294.
And don't you forget it.
Get a used car down the street or get a new car alternative. Here's a Ford Explorer XLT for only $296 per month. Get more for your money only at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. Wanted to clear up something from yesterday's interview with Brian Sandoval, the Republican candidate for governor. He said on the program that his campaign was already in talks to hold debates with Rory Reid. And in fact, a spokeswoman for the gubernatorial candidate said the candidate was mistaken when he said that they were already in the works. They said, we're in discussions right now, and we're going to debate three times this fall. That's what Mr. Sandoval said. Reid's campaign said no discussions have taken place, and Sandoval spokesman Mary Sarah Kinna confirmed it. Brian believed we'd already reached out to Reid's campaign to figure out the best debate schedule for the fall. We have not done that yet, but we will do so in the next week or so. And so we reiterate our offer. Rory Reid has already agreed to debate on Nevada Newsmakers, and we would love to have Brian Sandoval debate that on this program, too. Our Power Pundit Panel is a great one, as always. Bill Uffelman is here, President and CEO of the Nevada Bankers Association. Marlene Lockhart is Principal with Capital Strategies, and the Attorney Joe Gild is here. Welcome to all of you.
You know, today we just heard from our Governor's Chief of Staff, Robin Reedy, and she was talking about the constitutionality of IFC. We're very fortunate to have a former Chief of Staff and two attorneys on the panel. Bill, do you think the IFC...
And that's the Interim Finance Committee.
The Interim Finance Committee and the way they're looking at the budget, do you think that is an extra constitutional endeavor they're embarking on?
I haven't examined it closely. It's in my 30-plus years of doing this kind of thing in various states. You have committees like that. When times are good, there's no problem. When times are tough, there is a problem. And so then, but nobody that I'm aware of has actually litigated it and get a Supreme Court decision.
I think there's always been the feeling that IFC is unconstitutional, but it is a bridge.
Even by legislators,
but it is one of those areas that no one wanted to really challenge because it served a purpose in the interim between legislative sessions of still continuing to get the state's business done.
Yeah, and I haven't done, like Bill, I haven't done the constitutional analysis, but the IFC served a great purpose when we were a smaller state, when we had fewer issues that were contentious.
Oh, I hope I don't hear you endorsing annual sessions.
Especially monetary issues. However, it does beg the question that, I'm not endorsing annual sessions, but it does beg the question, does this state, can this state continue to do its business every other year? And people look at Texas and they say, well, Texas has a biannual legislative calendar, but they are in special session almost continually after their regular sessions, and they have in those special sessions the constitutionally approved committees doing the financial business of the state of Texas. So it's a question.
All right, let's change topics here, Marlene. Chad Christensen's petition drive to put an Arizona-style immigration law on the books has gone away. He's citing lawsuits that have been filed against it. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I, for one, am glad that it's gone away. I think we have enough issues in the state of Nevada that our candidates and our currently elected officials should be targeting and focusing on. I think with the law in Arizona and now the federal lawsuit there, let's see what happens and sort that out rather than bringing Nevada into potentially a situation that it would draw resources to argue or fight that battle.
You know, Bill, this is a very popular idea across the nation, and yet from an economic standpoint, this would be probably disastrous for Nevada. You look at the economic impacts already on Arizona.
It very well could be. And again, it's the notion of let's take it one step at a time. At this point in time, I don't know whether the state can actually afford the activity. So let's find out whether, if the court says that Arizona's right, then we can take that approach. If the court says Arizona's right, I suspect that we'll see federal action to either stopping illegal immigration or, in fact, immigration reform. I mean, that'll be a great motivator when you have that foot in your rear.
Well, yeah. I'll poke the elephant in the room with a stick and say, did Mr. Christensen do this for a political campaign idea during his senatorial bid?
Joe, I got to tell you, I moderated a senatorial debate in Reno, and when that topic of immigration came up, because that was right at the time they were passing the law, the crowd went wild, and it was not just Tea Party activists. I mean, it was a broad swath.
Well, I understand it's a big issue nationwide, but as to Chad Christensen specifically.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was the lone wolf out there on the highway.
So,
your thoughts, Paul?
Well, my thoughts are it's the federal government that needs to solve this issue. They haven't done it, so I can't really blame the state of Arizona for saying, you know, we're gonna start enforcing federal law since the feds aren't doing it, and really that's all they're really doing. I think a lot of this has been blown out of proportion, but this is the problem with government. You have government that doesn't work, and especially in immigration policy, it does not work. And, Bill, it's sad that a state like Arizona has to kick the federal government in the butt to get them to do anything on this issue.
My counterpart in Arizona, when the law was becoming law in that process, she was telling us what was going on. I mean, there's a lot of people who, in fact, are upset by the circumstance that forced them to do what they did, and they were forced, they had to. I mean,
and unfortunately, we are out of time. That's where I have to leave it for today. We'll come back to this topic, I'm sure. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Are you one of the thousands of Americans who've been touched by mesothelioma? If you're a victim of mesothelioma, it's likely that exposure to asbestos is to blame. The dangers of asbestos have been reported for nearly 100 years. So while companies in the asbestos industry understood the risks, many failed to protect their workers. If you're a victim of mesothelioma, don't wait to take action. Start planning for your family's future. Call 1-800-793-0388 now. That's 1-800-793-0388. I am a non-attorney spokesperson.
The Grand Sierra Resort hosts the Longest Drive for Charity competition Wednesday, July 14th. Participants get the opportunity to meet PGA Tour golf professionals and American Century Championship celebrities. All proceeds benefit the Autism Coalition of Nevada.
On the next Face to Face, we'll tell you why the Republican who wants to be governor, Brian Sandoval, is refusing to come on this program. And we'll read some of your Face to Face feedback. That's in the next Face to Face.
Why should you hire a personal injury attorney? To prevent insurance companies from taking advantage of you.
That way, you don't have to go it alone. You need someone to fight for you.
When you're injured, it can change your life. And life-changing decisions need to be taken seriously.
When you hire Bob and me, all you need to worry about is getting better.
And let us get you back on track.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
The Night in the Country Music Festival 2010. Two big nights of music entertainment benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Mason Valley. On Friday, July 23rd, it's Terry Clark and Diamond Rio. And on Saturday, July 24th, it's Chuck Wicks and Blake Shelton. Tickets on sale now, and camping space is available too. The Night in the Country Music Festival from Cade Ball, 98.1.
On our next broadcast, we have Senate candidate Sharon Angle.
It'll be quite the show. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.